You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Now we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Hebrews today, chapter 10, verses 18 through 22. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Right, well, we are halfway through the summer semester in one of my classes, then I'm going to start teaching another class for the sort of middle summer semester. So I'm kind of busy these days. So teaching the first one is using Zoom, which I don't like because it's you're too separate from your students. You really don't have that close contact. You don't really know what's going on the other side of the computer. But my middle summer semester, I'm in person, which I really enjoy. And, of course, I'm teaching the stuff that I enjoy, which is statistics. So that's always fun. And it means a little bit of do-re-mi, which comes in handy as well. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee today for all the joy that we have in life, the tremendous opportunities we have to serve thee, and Lord, the path that has been trod out before by great exemplars of faith, we thank thee for them. And most of all, Lord, we thank thee for thy work on the cross at Calvary. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're on the subject of the remnant, and I want to move kind of quickly into the study because I'm long-winded and because I run rabbit trails and I don't end up doing the things I need to do. So we'll get straight into it here. So over here, we've got this redemption and atonement. And this is kind of a big deal. This is not a small thing. This relates to our understanding. I mean, when we talk about the Lord's work, we think of his sacrifice, right? But what sacrifice is that analogous to in the scriptures? It's good to understand that he gave his life a ransom for many. We understand that. We understand the idea that he gave his life in a sacrificial way. And the ultimate sacrifice being exhibited by what he did on the cross at Calvary, we understand that. But there is something more to this picture, which relates to the sacrificial system that you find in the book of Leviticus, and its precursor, how that Israel was brought out of Egypt, and the great redemption in the Passover lamb. So there are many sacrifices in the scriptures which typify and look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. How to understand that? How do you understand those things? And this is kind of a deep dive, as I've come to understand, as I've gone through many of these ideas. So I've got this here, one sacrifice, rightly divided. Have you ever thought about this? I mean, when you look at the cross work of Christ and that how he died at a specific time, in a specific way, there's no guessing about how he died. There's no made-up material about this. His story is his story, especially when you come to understand his sacrifice. And then you come across these two ideas of redemption and atonement. Now, if you look at this word, atonement, you can already see why the King James translators use this in Romans chapter 5. And they have been criticized for using it. And we're going to have to address that criticism a little bit later on. I won't do it today. But if you just look at the word at one ment, at one ment, right? You can see something going on here with the construction of the English word. And this word actually means in the New Testament reconciliation. And over here, redemption, you see this in the case of the nation of Israel being brought out of Israel under the blood of the Passover lamb. There's a deliverance from, and the atonement is this an access to. But those directions are kind of opposite, aren't they? You've got deliverance from, which is a going out, freedom, liberty, and then access to is a going back, access to the Father. Both directions are involved with this. And so understanding this is very interesting to me, personally. So if you look at this, there is a Greek word, eisodos, coming in, an entrance. At the reception, given, acceptance, welcome. An action, coming in. And then you've got another one, exodus. Literally, going out. These two ideas are there. Have a look at this passage with me in the book of Hebrews, and chapter 10, which we've just been reading from. And this Hebrews 10 is a magnificent chapter. Our famous verse, Hebrews 10:5, wherefore when he cometh into the cosmos, when he comes in, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body. This is the open ear. This is the body that is going to do the will of God. Perfectly submitted to the will of God is this open ear. And then go across to verse 18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Entering in. Notice this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And entering, and it says in verse 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And then talks about this high priest. So there is the entering in by the blood. This is relating to the sacrifice of Christ. And then here's another one. This is in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 9. And verse 31 says this. Read just from verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. It's really interesting to make a study of the countenance, that God is interested in the countenance of people. And today people are looking at various parts of the body and emphasizing certain parts of the body, but the countenance is what God's interested in here. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And notice it says, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. A great teaching about the sacrifice of Christ. Going out. Here is the redemption, the exodus. What words related to this idea of an exodus? And so the word, the Greek word, is ephesus. In lexicons, if you wonder why they're written like this, the nouns are written in the nominative case, and then there is this eos, which tells you the ending for the genitive, and then this is the definite article, which generally tells you the gender. And then coming down here, you notice these two passages I've got highlighted. I want you to see this, because it really does teach this idea of an exodus. So this is Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. So there's the connection to the sacrifice, the sacrificial blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Okay, this great release, redemption. This is the going out, the great liberty we have, right? The liberty we find. And also when you find something similar written in Colossians 1 and verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Notice redemption through his blood, connecting with the sacrifice, even the forgiveness of sins. Notice through his blood. That portion in your King James Bible is gonzo in many modern Bibles, through his blood. And remember, that's a significant connection to the sacrificial part, right? Going to this idea of redemption, liberty, and freedom. Here's another one. This is the idea of going in. This is the eisodus. This is in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 13. Have a look at this with me. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, brought in, right, by the blood of Christ. Again, see, there's the sacrifice. By the blood of Christ. Going in, brought near. Those who are far off, the Gentile peoples, brought nigh by this sacrifice. Notice the context. Dispensational. Very important context. So you've got these two ideas. The redemption, the coming out, the liberty. Everybody wants liberty, surely. Liberty and freedom. But the only true liberty we can find is through this redemption, based upon the sacrifice of Christ, and this drawing nigh after being separated from God, again on the basis of the sacrifice of Christ. But sacrifice, wait a minute. Can we understand more about the nature of the sacrifice? Yeah, we can. But we've got to do some work. Isn't it interesting that the real deep things of the Bible, you got to work real hard to get at them, but the things that will give you liberty, the things that will bring you nigh, is just based upon a nice simple message. You can thank God for that, right? We don't have to sort of become super duper students to get saved. No, it's a nice simple message. But to get to the deeper things of God and to come to understand more about the scriptures and what they mean to us, you got to dig. Workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not easy. It's not easy. It's a lot of work. And we've talked about this body which was prepared. Now, I want to go forward a little bit, because we've gone through this, and I want to bring you to some kind of interesting things. I've talked about this, that during the book of Acts, this distinction between the nation of Israel and the Gentiles was absolutely maintained. It's easy to prove. We can easily establish that fact, that the Jew was first. Yet, there was no difference between Jew and Gentile in regards of sin. They all needed the same Savior. The same sacrifice would bring them salvation. Right? And you would get this great reconciliation in relationship to that separation between man and God because of sin. That was taught then. But at the same time, this national difference was maintained. Okay? And we talked about this. We talked about the offerings and so on. But what comes up is this word, korban, korban. This is the Hebrew word, right? Korban. This is the word for offering. Now, if you look at an interesting passage, which is in Mark 7, you find this word coming up. It's a Hebrew word which has been put into Greek when it was quoted and then translated into English for us, right? And I won't go through all the detail about this, but it's an interesting context. It's an interesting context about religious hypocrisy and how it can be used. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death, man. Boy, it's pretty strict, man. You want to make disrespect towards your mother and father? There are consequences under the law of Moses, which must reflect God's nature. Right? Must. He can't appreciate that. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban. This is the word for offering. Right? Same word which is used in Leviticus over and over again about the offerings. Korban. So let's get the picture. So here's a man. He's got his parents, his mother and his father, and they have needs. They have needs for food. Right? And this son has substance that he could supply and give to the needs of his father and mother. If a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, it's an offering. That is to say, now look, and this is the part that's interesting, right? Because we know from the Old Testament that is an offering. But look what it says. That is to say, a gift. A gift. And here is the interesting thing that really sparked my imagination and understanding about this word. Gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Okay? You see, I am going to be doing the big religious thing. Yeah, you've got some needs here for some food, but I'm going to say this here, this is a gift. This is going to be a gift to God. It's korban. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect. In other words, he is being very pharisaically religious and hypocritical and saying, oh, I'm going to use this for a gift for God. But really what he needs to do is consider his needy parents and feed them first. Right? This is really interesting to me. Don't you find that this is kind of an interesting thing? It shows you the nature of God, that we have a great God. He cares about people. Yes, he's got a sacrificial system. Yes, he's got the law. But the law was supposed to serve man too, right? Not to go against the needs of man. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. Whoa, there's a word. Which ye have delivered. And many such like things do ye. Many such like things. This is a religious system that's going to trip up a lot of people. Hey, there's a lot of traditions that we have been given, right? I can remember taught this. You know, Acts 2. Yeah, Acts 2 is where the body began, they say. This is where our church, of which Christ is head, the body of which Christ is head, this is where it began. That's a tradition, man. And it's just perpetuated. And people just believe it. Or others say, oh no, 13, yeah, that's it there. There, that's where it began. And traditions like this are taught. And they're just pushed forward and forward. And people just repeat them and repeat them over and over again. And there's a lot of other doctrines. But why have I brought you here? Because you see that the meaning of offering, if you look at it carefully, is that it's a gift. offering, oblation, offering, term for all kinds of offering, animal, vegetable, articles of gold. When you go back to Leviticus, look what you find. Go back to the book of Leviticus. Man, I've been reading Leviticus. I've been waxing in here. And I'm finding a lot of material in here that I've messed over the years. And you need to be careful with the scriptures. Look at Leviticus chapter 2. Now, the sin offering was an offering most holy to God. It was. Trespass offering, peace offering, most holy unto God. They were. But look at this, chapter 2, verse 1. And when any will offer a meat offering, this is otherwise known as a meal offering, unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, no blood. And he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial. So part of it was taken, and it was embellished with this oil and frankincense, upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And this sweet savor is in that smoke that goes up. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Now, what's the point? No blood here. There's no blood here. So what part of offering is here? What part of it is here? Well, what part is here and emphasized is the idea of a gift. And yet, that same idea of gift is also present with the bloody sacrifices. The bloody sacrifices were also gifts, korban. They were gifts. Why? So what's the big deal about that? Well, aren't you amazed at that? Because a gift is something selfless, right? That's the whole nature of a gift. It's selfless. Part of you is not supposed to be in a true gift. Why do you give a gift to something? Is it really so you can get something? Well, that might actually be the case sometimes. We may actually do that, but that's an expression of our fallen nature, right? The gift is supposed to be just something selfless. You want to give it to someone because of who that person is or the nature of that person. It's selfless. So that idea of selflessness is in the offering. But wait a minute, isn't the offering there so that you can get remission of sins? Isn't that what they're there for? Well, that's certainly a part of it. But there's also this massive idea of a gift that's in there. Now, let's just take this a little bit further. Okay? And you see that in the idea of a gift. Now, we've seen this passage, and we love this passage. This passage is something we're always going to go to, and we should. I mean, it's one of the most marvelous portions of the Scripture. For by grace are ye saved. Salvation based upon the finished work of Christ. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Those two verses together are some of the more famous verses in the Scriptures, especially when it comes to understanding salvation and what part faith plays. But there is in this a little complexity, which some people who do not understand the Scriptures and the meaning of the sacrifices, and specifically the meaning of the grammar of the text, where it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith," they connect faith with, "and that faith is not of yourselves." See that? I'll read it again. This is wrong. We know it's grammatically wrong, but it's easy to do. For by grace are you saved through faith, right? There's the faith. And that, what's that referring to? And that, well, a lot of people want to say, well, that's the faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. That faith is the gift of God. That faith is not of works, lest any man should boast. And they make faith something that must be given to you. Right? If you look back up here, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And this thing. Now, faith, this faith here, through faith, that faith there is feminine. It's a feminine. Now, this thing is neuter. So if it was referring back to faith, then this would have to be feminine, which it's not. It means this thing is not out of yourselves. It is the doron, gift of God, not out of works, lest someone should boast. Okay. Now, I know this is a little bit technical, but just look at this with me here. This is what's called a Leedy diagram. We're just talking about, you know, how we do a lot of meat in the church. This is not really ideal for someone who's just sort of trying to learn, you know, about the basics, ABCs of right division. You know, we're kind of jumping in at the deeper end. So, four, and then by grace are ye saved through faith. And then you notice how you got this chi, which means and. Now notice, this thing is not out of yourselves. This thing is the gift of God. This thing is not out of works, lest someone should boast. Now it's quite easy to translate. I mean, believe it or not, just a basic Greek will get you there. But the important thing to see here is that this thing is the salvation by grace through faith. That's the thing which is a gift. The salvation by grace through faith. That is the that's the gift, right? In other words, what Paul brings up in the book of Ephesians, writing to us in this age, is he's saying, hey, I've got you a gift here that you need to know about. Right? This is a gift. Here is an offering like you've never seen before. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Here it is, this thing. This is the great gift. And man, what a great teaching this is. And of course, in the book of Acts, you have this this reconciliation that's promised and taught. And then in prison, you've got this apokatalasso, the intensified forming of the preaching. Have a look at Ephesians with me, chapter 2. And I just want to wrap this up. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says this. Reading from verse 14, for he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. While we saw in the book of Acts building upon the veil that was rent, salvation to all, but the distinguished differences between the nation of Israel and the Gentiles was maintained. There was a rent veil, meaning of course all could have access to salvation. But wait a minute. Here's another one. Middle wall of breaking down the middle wall of partition. Now here, differences between Jew and Gentile are being considered and figured. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the twain, the Jew and the Gentile, one new man, and in this way making peace. Oh, wow. And here he comes in verse 16. And that he might reconcile. Here is the intensified perfected reconciliation, both under God and one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The enmity now being slain, and both groups being brought together under this modified reconciliation. Cool, man. Don't you think this is absolutely cool? I mean, you see this going down. So let me just summarize what we've learned so far, which I think is really neat. So you have in the book of Acts, you have certainly this maintained that there was a place of Israel above the Gentiles. It was Jew first. Yes, there was a catalasso, a reconciliation concerning sins, because we are all from Adam. This business of being in Adam. In Adam all shall die, even so all in Christ shall be made alive. That's certainly true. And so all have sinned. That's in there. No difference. No difference. Okay, that's cool. But the context of the no difference is in relationship to sin. But then over here, what happens? A new body is formed, man, where both are made one. What was that TV series? There can only be one. There can only be one. Both made one. And this comes under the umbrella of this intensified apokatalasso, this intensified, perfected reconciliation. And so this is a great teaching, isn't it? And there's a distinction, therefore, between this body over here, where both are made one, and this body that you'll find over here, where the two are not made one, but there is a unity in the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory, and all will find the same solution in Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Right? There. But their hope is different. Their hope is because they're feeding on the root and the fatness of the olive tree, which was Israel. Their hope was different here. So you say, but there's only one body of Christ. Wait a minute, there's only one body of Christ in the sense that there's only one body for sin. There's only one body that put his life down for our sins. But the way that is affected today means that this body here, which is freshly created after the revelation of the mystery, has got a different hope. The way it's created is completely different. Now there's no difference between the nation of Israel and the Gentile. They're both one in this body. And it's a huge difference. And so in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you can see this great gift that God has given. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That's a great gift, man. One that we can preach hard and long with understanding. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today for all that Thou hast taught us in the Scriptures. And Lord, as we go through some of the deeper things concerning the atonement coming next week, Lord, we ask that You would anoint our minds to understand. We pray for the ministry online, that many would come to the website and find the truths that they need to hear and be perfected as they see the revelation of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner. And Lord, we look for wisdom in our own lives as we make decisions and we consider Thy word rightly divided. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.